We're going to Matthew. You can take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have. We're going to Matthew chapter 6. I've got to hurry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says this: "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" I want to talk to you about freedom from worry. A mother was concerned about her only son going off to college. She was so concerned, she felt compelled to write a letter to the president. She said, "Dear President, you've accepted my son into your college, but I'm very concerned about him coming there. I'm asking you to give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to make sure his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language, tells off-color jokes, smokes, drinks, or chases after girls. I hope you understand why I'm appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home, except for the 3 years he spent in the Marine Corps. Now, this is what I know. We can all relate a little bit to this mother. This mother had a worry. And I want to explain something. Let me say, folks, it's a lot easier to preach about not worrying. It's a lot easier to tell somebody not to worry than it is not to worry. I can tell you that. It's easy to put it out there, but sometimes it's hard to live it out. I mean, this is an area that sometimes I battle, just to be honest with you. I'm even worried a little bit right now. I'm worried whether or not my message is going to help you with worry. But I want to say two things. I want you to understand, first of all, don't worry does not mean don't plan. Don't worry does not mean don't plan. Jesus said in verse 34, take no thought of tomorrow. Now, folks, he's not teaching against not planning. Failing to plan's planning to fail. He's not teaching on not having life insurance. He's not teaching about not having a financial plan. He's not teaching, don't date before you have a mate. I mean, he's teaching that we should plan and we should prepare. He even said this in Luke 14 and 28. He said, before you build a house, you need to count the cost. Well, what's a paraphrase for that? Here's a paraphrase for that. Measure twice and saw once. Measure twice and saw once. I want you to understand. Don't worry doesn't mean you don't have a plan. Let me tell you something else. God wants us to be carefree, not careless. God wants us to be carefree, not careless. See, God wants us to be concerned. He wants us to be concerned about our children. He wants us to be concerned that our child's in a safe place and our children go to a good school. And he wants us to watch out for the well-being of our children. He wants us to be concerned about who our children are associating with. Certainly. Carefree doesn't mean to be careless. See, I'm convinced that there's a difference in worry and concern. God doesn't want us to worry, but God does want us to be concerned. You say, well, what's the difference, Pastor? Well, see, I believe worry sees a problem, but I believe concern sees a solution. Worry sees a problem, and concern sees a solution. Don't worry about being concerned, but we need to be concerned about worrying. Two hunters are out in the woods when one of them collapses. He doesn't seem to be breathing. His eyes are all glazed. The other whips out his phone and calls the emergency services. He gasps, "My friend is dead. What can I do?" the operator says, "Don't worry, I can help. First, let's make sure he's dead." There's a silence. Then a gunshot is heard. Back on the phone, the guy says, "Okay, now what?" When I was 17, I was pastoring a church, and I had a gentleman in my church, and he said, "Pastor, I worry all the time." I said, "Oh, that's not good." He said, "I'm just a worry ward." I said, "Well, worry's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. Worry won't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. What it will do, it will empty today of its strength." But he said, "Pastor, that's why I'm coming to you." I said, "Well, tell me what's going on." He said, "Right now, there's nothing in my life that's going bad." I said, "That's wonderful." He said, "I don't have any worries." I said, "That's tremendous." He said, "But that's what I'm worried about." Now, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus gave this discourse, by the way, the greatest sermon ever given, the Sermon on the Mount, he gave sitting down, greatest sermon ever given. When Jesus gave this sermon, he gave an entire discourse about worry. And he talked about some things that we worry about. And I want to give them to you. He said the first thing that we worry about, ladies and gentlemen, is we worry about finances. Jesus is going to give this discourse, but he starts out with verse 24. And look what he says. Before he even gets into the worry part, he says, "You can't serve God and mammon." Now, mammon, what does mammon mean, Pastor? It just means stuff. That's the best wording for it. It just means stuff. And what he's saying, don't worry about all that stuff. And folks, many times we're worried about finances, and it so seems to control us. Jesus said, "I don't want you to worry about finances. I don't want you to worry about stuff." But he said there's a second thing we worry about. He said we worry about fashion. Look what he said in verse 25. "What ye shall put on." Boy, it hadn't much changed. We live in a culture we're so worried about fashion. It starts out when we're in school. Do I wear the right jeans? Do I wear the right top? Am I in style? Am I going to be with the in crowd? One girl said to her mother, she was a soldier actually in Iraq. She said, "Mom, can you mail me as quickly as possible my makeup kit?" She said, "Sure." Because she said, "Mom, the people over here have no idea what I really look like." And we're so controlled, folks, by fashion. And are they going to like me on the basis of my fashion? Folks, listen, if somebody likes or dislikes you on the basis of your fashion, you hadn't got anything to start with, and you can't lose a friend you never had. That's free. You can take that home with you. Number three, we worry about fitness. Look what verse 27 says. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" We worry about our size. We worry about our fitness. You know, one lady said to her husband, "Honey, does this new dress make me look fat?" He said, no, it's your hips that make you look fat." But we live in a world that's consumed. We're consumed with fitness. I heard about a lady who joined an exercise class, and she was getting the details, and they said to her, "When you come to the exercise class, wear loose clothes." She said, "If I had loose clothes, I wouldn't need this class." A preacher buddy of mine went to the doctor the other day, and they told him, they said, "You're 25 pounds overweight." He said, "No, I'm not." They said, "Sir, we've weighed you. You're 25 pounds overweight. You're 25 pounds too heavy." He said, "No, I'm not. I'm 6 inches too short." I mean, but we're so succumbed with fitness. But then we worry about something else. We worry about the future. It's in verse 34, "Take no thought of tomorrow, We worry about the future. We worry about what's going to happen. Then there's the fifth thing that we worry about. We worry about family. Mom's here only happy as, the mother's here only as happy as their saddest child. We worry about our family. But then, folks, there's a sixth thing we worry about. We worry about failure. We worry about failure. We worry about what people are going to perceive and what are they thinking about us in light of our failure. And folks, let me just say something to every one of you. We've all failed. We've all failed, but that doesn't make you a failure. Failure is an event. It's not a person. Failure is an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. Amen? Failure is an opportunity while you fall down just to pick up something. You know what I've learned about life? I don't have all the answers, but I've learned about life. What we think sometimes is bad could be the greatest joy, and it can be what God uses the greatest in your life. I was asked one time, they said, Pastor Benny, do you ever listen to yourself preach? Do you ever listen to yourself preach? Listen, folks, I've been preaching all these years. I never have. He said, you got to be kidding. In all these years, you've never stopped and just listened to yourself preach one time? Not one time. And the reason why I never have done it, you said, I'm just being as transparent. I'm probably too transparent with people, but I'll just be as transparent. I know. The reason why I've never done it is I don't enjoy my voice. I don't enjoy my voice. But you know, I was talking to the Lord about that. And he said, what you deem is bad is what I've used. And let me tell you, what you deem as a failure in your life and what you deem as bad may be the thing that God uses the greatest in your life if you would just allow him to do it. If you would just allow him to do it. What you seem as a mess up may be what God does his greatest work in your life through. Now, here's what I want you to get. Why we shouldn't worry. You know, I'm a person who I can take a hint. I can take a hint. You know, I'll say, Barbara and I have been married all these years, and sometimes I'll say, hey, tonight I think we're going to go to this restaurant. What do you think? And she'll say, if that's where you want to go. That's where you want to go. I'm smart. I wrote the book Happy Wife, Happy Life. Amen? Now, listen, men, if you're married, if your wife says something to you three times, she's wanting you to get it. And by the way, ladies, if your husband says something to you three times, he probably wants you to get it too, right? Sure he does. We're all that way. Jesus said in verse 25, in verse 31, and in verse 34, he said to us three times, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. What he was saying, Vern, I want you to get it. Benny, I want you to get it. There's something here I'm wanting you to get. And then he tells us not to worry. And then he tells us why we shouldn't worry. Number one, he said worry is inconsistent. If you look at verse 25, look what he said. He said, therefore, take no thought for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink or what you put on your body. What is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? What's he saying, folks? Here's what he's saying. If I gave you life, if I gave you life, I'm going to take care of you. Folks, you're here because of God. You're wonderfully created by God. God made you a unique person with a unique passion for a unique purpose. You're wonderfully and gloriously created by God, and he doesn't make any junk. And let me tell you something, folks. If God can give you life, he's going to take care of you. I'll tell you something else. Worry is irrational. Look what verse 26 says. He said, listen, if I feed the birds, I'm going to take care of you. If I feed the birds, I'm going to. Folks, could you imagine? I'm not a farmer. We live in a culture. Our granddaddy had a farm, and our daddy had a garden, and we got a can opener, amen? But anyway. But can you imagine a farmer feeding his chickens and letting his children starve to death? Which that's That's irrational. Why, sure it is, folks. And God's not going to do that. He's not going to take care of the birds and then not take care of you. I'll tell you something else. Worry's ineffective. Look what verse 27 says. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? How much is a cubit? This is what he said. Cubit is from your elbow to the tip of your finger. And he says, listen, if you worry, he's not going to make you any taller. He's not going to make you any taller. I mean, most of us folks, if it would, we'd be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But it's not going to make you. It's ineffective. Teacher was teaching. She said to the class, Johnny, how much is 3/4 of 5/16? He said, what? She said, Johnny, how much is 3/4 of 5/16? He said, I don't know, but I don't think it's enough to worry about. Worry's ineffective. Let me tell you the fourth thing about worry. Worry's irreligious. It's irreligious. If you look at verses 31 and 32, you know what Jesus said? He said, my goodness, you're acting like the people that worship the sun. You're acting like the Gentiles. You're acting like the pagans when you're wringing your hands and worrying. That's not the way Christian people are supposed to respond. See, folks, I researched what we worry about, and I found out this. Let me give it to you. 40% of the time, we worry about things that never happen. 40% of your worry, you're worrying about it right now, and it's never going to happen. 30% of the time, we worry about the past. That, I don't mean to hurt you, but folks, you can't change it anyway. I mean, you can't solve sawdust. 12% of the time, we worry about the criticism of others. We worry about getting criticized. You say, Pastor, how do you handle it? Oh, I can handle it. Crows only pick at the best fruit. You say, well, but help me today. I'm taking notes. Help me to never be criticized. Write this down. If you never want to be criticized, do nothing. Say nothing, be nothing. You want to never be criticized? Do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. And if that's what you want to be, you're a loser. You say, I wouldn't have said that. You don't have to. I did. Let me tell you something. If you accomplish anything in life, there'll be some critics along the way. But you know what I learned about criticism? People that are busy rowing seldom have time to rock the boat. If you're busy rowing, you don't have time to rock the boat. Guy said to Jesus one time, his name was John, he said, what's this guy going to do? Jesus said, if he does nothing, if he just occupies I come, that's none of your business. You need to be about my business. I wasn't even the message, but I felt good. Anyway, all right. And then 10% of the time, folks, we worry about our health. We worry about our health. And here's the bad thing, folks. When you worry about your health, it only makes it worse. That's 92% of our worry. So only 8% is even legitimate concern. Now, here's where I want to get to, and I got to move fast. Thank you. 1 out of 1,000. Anyway, here's where I got to move. How do we experience victory? This is deep. Hold on. Number one, look at the birds. You say, when I'm here and I'm all stressed out, I've got all kinds of problems, worries, problems, perplexities. I go hear this guy, Dr. Benny Tate, and I say, what do I do? And he says, look at the birds. Now, here's what's amazing, folks. Here's what's interesting. Birds weren't created in God's image. Birds were not created in God's image. God did not give birds dominion over all creation. God did not send his son, and his son did not die on a cross for the birds. Here's what I want you to understand. This is deep. Hold on. God loves you more than birds. Yeah, you can clap. God loves you more than birds. And if God's going to take care of the birds that don't harvest anything, God's going to take care of you. See, sometimes we eat with somebody and they'll pick around and we'll say, boy, they're eating like a bird. No, no. Do you realize a bird eats 2 to 3 times its weight every day? A bird eats 2 or 3 times its weight every day. I want you to understand something. God is taking good care of the birds. And God's going to take good care of you. And you can trust to God because he said when you're worried, when you're stressed out, here's a deep thought. Look at the birds. It's all a focus issue, ladies and gentlemen. A lady was driving 3 young children on a warm summer evening when a woman in a convertible ahead of us stood up and waved. She was stark naked. As I was reeling from the shock, I heard my 5-year-old shout from the back seat, Mom, that lady isn't wearing a seatbelt. It's all where you put the focus. So you say, Pastor, I'm stressed out. Give me a word. Look at the birds. And God takes care of the birds. And if he takes care of the birds, he'll take care of us. Number 2, he said, listen to what you say. Listen to what you say. Look at the verse in verse 31. Look what it says. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Notice, saying. I'll never get a job. I'm never going to meet anybody. I know my condition physically is only going to get worse. I'm probably going to flunk out of school. I'll never have a house as nice as their house. I'm never going to get over this physical problem I'm going through right now. It just keeps getting worse. Let me tell you something, folks. When you start sharing those negative thoughts, the words you say create emotion and brings on worry. Pastor, I want to get victory over this worry. Look at the birds. Listen to what you say. Number 3, let God be first in your life. See, I researched this word worry, and this is what it means, folks. Worry, literally, it means to divide. It means to tear. It means to rip apart. It means to pull in opposite directions. It's like you've seen them make that taffy candy. Literally, that's the illustration. It's just pulling in opposite directions. So if worry's pulling you in opposite directions, what's the answer? Jesus gave it. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, and all these, by the way, and all these 6 things, finances, all these 6 things, fashion, fitness, future, family, failure, all these 6 things will take care of themselves if you seek me first. If you seek me first, don't focus on those things. Focus on me. And if you focus on me, those things will take care of themselves. Now, there's a last thing I want to leave you with. Leave your worry with God in prayer. Oh, I wish I could sing. Oh, Barbara says, I wish you could too. Those people that work out with me at the gym, oh, they wish I could too. I could sing, I'd sing, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Mary Crowley. I got some age in this crowd. How many of you can remember Home Interior? Yeah. How many of you men hated a Home Interior party? Yeah. The lady who started Home Interior said these words. Every evening, I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. This basketball in my hands is worth about $20. But all this basketball in LeBron James's hands, oh, it's worth $31 million. Wait. It all depends on whose hands it's in. Look here. This baseball in my hands, it's worth about $5 or $6. But all we put this same baseball in Mike Trout's hands, it's worth $35 million a year. This putter, Pastor Benny, you golf? I play in the low 70s. But if it gets much warmer than that, I'm not going to play. This putter in my hands, about $40. But this putter in Tiger Woods' hands, it's created $500 million. While this clipboard in my hands, oh, $5. But a few weeks ago, the University of Georgia said, clipboard in Kirby Smart's hands is worth $49 million over 7 years. You know what I've realized? It all depends on whose hands it's in. Your worry in your hands is going to do just what the word says. It's going to rip you. It's going to pull you. It's going to discourage you. But ladies and gentlemen, when you place your worry in Jesus' hands, you experience a peace that passeth all understanding. It all depends on whose hands it's in. It all depends on whose hands it's in. Now, let me tell you something. I can't preach. I'm almost a minute or so, I'm finished. But let me tell you, there is a legitimate worry. There's a legitimate concern that we all ought to have. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, here we have such a short time to prepare for such a long time. And there is a concern that we ought to have. And that concern is, do you know that your heart's right with God? You say, Brother Benny, why do I not have peace in my heart with God? I know why. The same reason I didn't. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave that scripture up, by the way. God's holy. We're sinners. So we're separated from God. Well, how can we be reconciled to God, Brother Benny? How can I have peace with God? You got to understand. He tells us it's through Jesus Christ. It's through you realizing that you're a sinner. And every sin that you ever have committed or ever will commit, Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died for it. Every sin you've ever committed, Jesus took your place and he paid your sin debt so you could have peace with God. So you could have peace with God. So you say, wait, Pastor, I don't have that peace. Then how do I get it? You've got to accept Jesus. And it's just as simple as acknowledging you're a sinner, believing Christ died for your sin, and confessing your sin to Him.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.